Welcome to the Pascal Ngwe Podcast. Pastor Pascal is the senior pastor of Alive Bible Church, a vibrant and growing church with branches across South Africa. Pastor Pascal is an anointed teacher of the Word of God who makes the Bible to come alive. Get ready to be empowered as you listen to the Word of God.
Amen. Let's be seated in His presence. You are all welcome. It's a blessing to have all of you here. May God bless your efforts. Amen. And your devotion and sacrifices to His name and to His kingdom. Praise the Lord. Come with me to the book of Luke 13, verse 10. We're going to look at something there real quickly. Praise the Lord. The Bible says, now He was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. 11. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. And she was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. Praise the Lord. But when Jesus saw her, He called her to Him and said to her, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. And He laid His hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Praise the Lord. On Sunday, I was sharing with us the evidence of a genuine walk with God. And one of the evidences of a genuine walk with God is deliverance. Is that when you really start working with Jesus closely or with His Spirit, one of the things that you will discover God is interested in is in setting you free. What we are interested in is learning to survive with the oppression. Sometimes Satan convinces us, you will not be free. Just find a way to survive with this thing. Figure out a way to live with it. This thing will always be a part of you. You will agree with me that if you've had something for 18 years, you must have tried a few times to get rid of it. I think by this time, you are convinced this will be a part of my life. I'll always live with this. Let me learn to go to church with it. She was in the church service. Let me learn to adjust and see what I can do. But I want to tell you, even if the thing has been there for 18 years, Jesus still wants to set you free from it. Even if it's been there since the day you were born, or even before you were born. Don't confuse the duration of the problem with the will of God. That something has been there so long doesn't in any way mean God is now okay with it. If God is okay with it, I too should now become okay with it. There's no need to fight. There's no need to expect freedom. This thing will always be a part of my life. If you walk with God, one of the things God is very determined in achieving in your life and my life is total freedom. Not partial freedom. Total freedom. And I want to encourage you to not settle for less than total freedom. Don't accept any bargain with the devil. Don't accept. He's going to start over. He said, no, you see, now this is gone. So relax. I mean, like, you can't have everything gone. I mean, this one and this one have left you. So now, you know, you are even better than some of the people in the church now. So I think you should just accept it. I want to repeat to you, do not accept any bargain with Satan. Go for your total and complete deliverance. I do not know what you are fighting at the moment. And I do not know for how long you've been fighting it. And I don't know how many times you failed trying to defeat it. All I know is that a woman was oppressed for 18 years. Still, Jesus felt this woman should be loosed. And I think Jesus is feeling that you too should be loosed, whatever is oppressing you. Our adversary is also called the oppressor. It's one of his job description is to oppress people. He hides in darkness and torment people that are in the light. They can't see him. He does things when they are asleep. He takes them by surprises. He's always scheming things. This is what he's been doing for so many. He enjoys it. He enjoys your oppression. He enjoys it when you thought you were out, only to find out that you are even deeper in. He loves it. He loves it. I tell you, Satan enjoys oppressing us. You would think, as a fallen angel that he is, he should go and tackle other angels. That is his class. Don't you think so? Like, we are humans. We've never gone for sports with animals. When you hear World Cup, it's among us. We've never attempted to go to another race. His equals are waiting for him. He doesn't go for them. Comes to us because we seem to be an easy pick based on the ignorance that he has plagued on us over the millions of years. Thank God for Jesus. Jesus came to rescue us from this oppressor. And I would like to tell you tonight, do not settle for the oppression. You must still be oppressed, but don't accept it. Your mind must be, this thing is coming to an end. Praise the Lord. All right. If we were to go back from the beginning, I want to show you. So we are talking about, next verse 11. Behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. Now, what were the manifestation or the result of that spirit in her? What was happening to her? You see, she was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. Do you understand that? If you were to look at that woman, in the natural. You are going to tell her maybe she's got a back problem. Because every spiritual issue can usually be explained medically. When the Bible talks of the madman of Gadara, we call it schizophrenia. We have a medical term for every spiritual problem. When the Bible says adultery, we say an affair. We have other words that we use. And those words take away the spiritual value of the thing. So you start having the impression that you are dealing with a medical condition. You are dealing with a social, a relational problem. Because it takes Luke, by the way, who is a doctor? Luke was a doctor by profession. Who is now writing this thing? And he's mentioning that this woman had a spirit. There was a spirit that was causing an infirmity to this woman. There was a spirit that was responsible for what we are looking at and we think is a medical condition. Listen carefully. There's a spirit that is responsible for what we look at and we say, no, it's his background. No, it is this. No, it is that. There's a spirit. See, a woman had a spirit of infirmity. See, we don't seem to be very much aware of this aspect. The presence of spirits and their effect in the lives of the sons of men. There was a spirit. There was a spirit. There are always spirits. How do you identify the presence of a spirit? Everything is in the verse. Number one, the length of a problem. How long the problem has been around is usually, the duration is usually an indication of the presence of a spirit. The duration of the thing. How long have you been dealing with this thing? How long has the thing been around? If it's once in a while, something that is not very, then you are not dealing with a spirit, you are dealing with a habit. But if something is consistently there, so you have the duration, then you also have the persistence. Because the duration implies that there are many times I try to get rid of this thing. Do you understand? But it keeps popping back. So the persistence of the problem, it keeps coming. Different shapes and shades, but it is still the same thing. If you look carefully. So you will say the stubbornness of the thing, how stubborn the thing is, doesn't go away. You deal with this problem many times during the year, every year, for the past 18 years. The same problem many times during the year, every year, for the past 18 years, you've been dealing with this thing consistently. It has tried so many ways to come to you, to get at you. The same thing. When you think about the things you are fighting, that's one of the things that you can see. I'm fighting this thing. I'm helping you identify the spirit that are working in you. I'm helping you to identify the presence, identifying the presence of a spirit, an evil spirit, in your life, the duration of a problem. the recurrence of a problem, how often it keeps popping up. That's how you know you are not dealing with a normal thing again. Then he says, it brings, like the thing is affecting your lifestyle. This woman was never supposed to be bended over. Like the presence of a spirit start affecting your lifestyle. Like the way you live, something about your life changes. Kind of permanently. Yeah? Something in your life has changed. Oh yeah. She was bended over, not because that's how her mother brought her to this world, not because that is maybe she's been learning how to bend over. No. As a matter of fact, the Bible says she tried to raise herself up, but she could not. So this was not her own will. This is something that was done to her. An alteration in her behavior. Her behavior was altered. Something was altered in the maid of the person. And that's what spirits do. When they come, they alter something. They adjust something. Yeah. They reverse something. They change something. That's how you know you are dealing with a spirit. How long it's been there? How often it keeps popping up? What changes has the thing made in you? What are the transformations that have taken place ever since this thing has been here? What are some of the behaviors that you are now entertaining that otherwise were never supposed to be there? Alteration in the mindset, in the behavior, in the patterns. Things are changing. Sometimes permanently, if care is not taken. I don't think this spirit had any intention of letting go of this woman. 18 years counting. So it was going to bring a permanent alteration. A permanent change in the life of the person. Let me remind you, no matter how deep you've been in the thing, no matter how Satan has tried to convince you that this one is here to stay, I want to tell you something today. Jesus Christ can set you free. That is, you need to know that if you're going to walk with God, God does not entertain certain things. You have to understand that he doesn't, like, walking with him means this too. It's not just singing, dancing, shouting. It also means getting delivered. It's part of walking with God. Please take your seat. Bent over and could in no way raise herself up. So you see, on her own, she tried. She put herself in programs. She spoke to people. She read books. Hey, she tried different things. But she was hitting the wrong buttons. She didn't know that there's a spirit that is responsible for this thing. There's a spirit. Look, if you cannot agree with this verse, I don't think certain things will ever change. They will never change. If you cannot call a spade a spade, you will never move the spade. We have nice names we like to use. And I'm telling you, Satan is a professional at giving things nice names to keep them going. He gave a very nice name to the thing. He called it a condition. He said, no, this is a condition. This is a state of mind. But he will not say, this is a spirit. This is an evil spirit. It's an evil spirit of infirmity that is molesting your life. And you've never addressed the spirit. You've never called the spirit by its name. Let me tell you the importance of calling spirits by their names. Number one, spirits are never alone. They never walk alone. Very rarely will you find a demon by himself. They don't work like that. The madman of Gadara had 6,000 demons in him. Do you understand? Jesus told you that when a demon leaves, he goes and gets 7 more, and they become 8. So the least they can be is 8. The more they can be is 6,000. Anything in between there. So if I go and I say, come out. Come out. Who will come out from here? Nobody will come out when you just say, come out. But if I say, Sia, come out. You see, by mentioning his name, number one, I'm making him aware. I know he's there. Number two, I have singled him out. Even the other one say, hey, they are calling you. It's your turn. It's you. It's you who must go. It's you who must go. It's time. That's the importance of knowing the names of demons, so that you can identify them by their name and call it what it is. And say, you demon of this, come out. Then you demon of this, come out. But you see, if you are busy sugarcoating things, if you are busy entertaining things, you will never call them by their name. You find a very medical term. And the thing will never feel, I mean, if you are saying, technician offense, come out. Technician offense. Who will move? You've called something, but you didn't specify who you are talking about. A spirit of infirmity. You can replace that with anything that is molesting you. And you know it. Look, something cannot be in you for 18 years and you don't know what it is. Don't lie to me here now. Every one of us here, whatever has been a spiritual molestation, do you understand? By now, you know. They've introduced themselves to you a few times already. You have seen them, they've seen you, you've seen each other. So you already know what is there. You already know what is 100%. Like, it's not something that I should be. Hey, do you know that something? No. You know. You know. We all here know. Every one of us, you know which spirit has been there the longest. We all know. And I came to tell you, nothing can stay in you for this long if it is not a spirit. It must, you see, sicknesses, they come, they go. You have flu, and then after a while, it leaves you. Do you understand? And even when the flu come again, there are reasons. Maybe it's cold or like you yourself will understand, okay, there are reasons why the thing has come. Maybe I was out without a shirt, it was cold, and then, or I slept without, you know. You quickly understand what got you there. And if you take the medication, the thing leaves you. That's how it's supposed to be. If it comes, you tackle it, it goes. Do you understand?
And there are certain spirits that they've come, you didn't like them, you chased them, they left. But there are some that don't go anywhere. Those ones that don't go the way the others go didn't just come. Do you understand? You invited them. Yes. The ones that you quickly chase away are very different from the ones that seem to have legal reasons to be there. And I know you are saying, but the house is mine. Yes, the house is yours. But if you rent out your house to somebody, it is still your house, isn't it? However, for the period of time that he is renting the house, you've lost the legal right over the house. You cannot come to the house and do whatever you want to do because it's your house. You have rented the house out to somebody. And the person you rented out the house to is the one that is now in charge. So you are now asked, but how did I authorize these demons? Oh, this happened in many ways. You can authorize them knowingly, and you can authorize them unknowingly. Authorization is authorization. I'm sure you've seen boxers that they are now crying, no, I didn't know this was a contract. A contract is a contract. You signed. Later your eyes have opened. Say, no, this is not what I... Who signed here? It's me. Ah, but I didn't know. Signature is signature. So I repeat my statement. Knowingly or unknowingly, the terms are legal. Let's explore the two. How can I authorize demons knowingly? Well, there are certain things that you do, do you understand, that gives them a legal right to enter and to start operating. For example, I've already taught you that a human being has about 7 or 8 gates through which spirits can enter him. You understand? The first are your 2 eyes. These are your first 2 gates. The right eye is a gate. The left eye is a gate. When you open both, both gates are open. As soon as you start watching something, the message you are indicating is that I'm allowing this thing to be watched. Therefore, I'm authorizing this thing to be here. So when you start watching something, it's not like somebody has come like they're trying to open your eyes by force. No, your eyes are open by yourself. You've opened your own eyes and you've selected where you want to go and what you want to watch. So all of these are a series of what? Authorizations. Oh. So anytime you are watching something, an authorization is being given to spirits. You've opened your eyes and said, guys, I like this. This is accepted here. So through that authorization, they can start coming in. They start coming. Now you prove me right, because the things you don't want, you don't watch. The things you don't want, you don't watch. The things you don't want, you don't watch. For example, preachers. You don't want preachers, so you don't watch preachers. You don't watch them. You don't want any preaching, you don't watch preaching. The things you don't want, you don't watch.
even by mistake.
You can never be found watching them.
This is legal authorization. Legal authorization. I didn't call myself. You open the doors and say, I can come and rent. And we've signed a lease agreement. I'm here legally. You can't just come and I say, go. Relax. Did I call myself? You called me here. You open the doors. Another voice was saying to you, don't go there. You say, no, I want to go there. I like this. So you called me. How did I call you? By opening your eyes, typing the website, all of those things, the steps you followed, got me here. So I'm here. Look, legally or illegally, you're going to come out. But you must first understand what got you where you are. And stop joking with these things, because you see, there's a permanent change. A bend, a curve, a distortion that was never supposed to be there. That is now there. A distortion in the life of somebody, in the finances of somebody, in the relationship of somebody, in the career of somebody, in the destiny of somebody, a total bend over by a spirit that somebody was joking with. Yes. And many a times, we are trying to solve this thing by giving you money. We're trying to solve this thing, but we use other things to just, you know, we are trying to, but we don't understand. See, the problem is deeper than the money you are trying to give or the problem is deep. You are dealing with a spirit. Sometimes spirits, now there are many of them. They've all been given access. They are there legally. And never make a mistake to think that coming to church chases them away. I can give you thousands of examples of people who were able to worship God and serve demons at the same time. Yes. The madman of Gadara, the Bible says he ran to Jesus and worshiped Jesus. A man with 6,000 demons, he didn't go to Jesus. He didn't walk to Jesus. He ran to Jesus. He ran. And the Bible says he worshipped Jesus. Dapelo, go help me down there. He worshipped Jesus. Yet there were 6,000 spirits. And the demon didn't stop him from worshipping Jesus. They were okay. Worship him. After that, we'll go and continue our things. Go to church, do your church duties, do everything. After we finish, come, let's continue with where we left off. Your freedom will meet you tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. She was bent over, bent over, bent over. Distortion in your behavior, distortion in your character. Distortion in who you are or who you are supposed to be. Distortions. Curves. Something that was supposed to be a straight line is now bent over this way. It bent over that way. It's going this way. It's going this way. There's confusion. And it gets worse because now you are beginning to see the dangers of the thing and you want to adjust, but you can't. Can't. Time and time again, you feel the need to change and get back and be normal like everybody else. But you've gone too deep. You've gone too deep. Now it's a mission to reverse it.
Everything has a breaking point. Everything has what? A breaking point. You always have a lot of opportunities before the breaking point. And some of you, God is still giving you an opportunity, even tonight, to say, you know what? Before I reach the breaking point, where there's nothing that can be done that is possibly done, I can still reverse. I can still adjust myself. I can stop playing a fool, thinking I'm playing people. You are playing nobody but yourself. You are playing nobody but yourself. You are playing nobody. Was it the congregation that was bent over? Was it the person that was bent over? The person that invited the spirit is the person that was bent over. 18 years of suffering. Humiliation. Imagine you are going to a party. It's a deformation that everybody sees. That those that don't feel compassion will mock you and laugh at you. I mean, it has changed your whole life. And this is what Satan wants, to disgrace God's children. That is one of his primary missions, to disgrace us. So that he can use you tomorrow as an example, an evidence of genuinely fake Christians. So just look at this one. They were saying that, look at what they are busy with. So through you, he wants to mess up so many others, to discourage them from ever following such a path. In the pretense that there's nothing there. There's nothing there. Look at this one. Look at what happened. Look at that one. Look at what happened. There's nothing there. Spirits. And their effect in our lives. Did you get that, Mark? When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. He's a worshipper. Demon-possessed worshipper. He's a worshipper. He's excited. This is the madman of Gadara that we're talking. Okay, verse 7. You are thinking I'm joking. So he cried out with a voice and said, after he finished worshipping Jesus, he said, what do I have to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High? I implore you by God that you do not torment me. 8. For he had said to him, come out of the man, unclean spirit. He identified himself as an unclean spirit. And when you check the behavior of the man is in tombs, cemeteries. He is in all kinds of places. So there's an unclean spirit. A spirit that makes you unclean. By the time you are done with it, you feel dirty. You feel dirty. You feel guilty. You feel like something has been taken. So that's unclean spirits. That's their job. They make your spirit dirty. Many spirits, they reflect the name of their duties. An unclean spirit makes you unclean and unsuited for divine use. That's one of the job it does. It makes you unclean and it makes your service to God unacceptable. Nine. Then he asks him, what is your name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. See, I'm using this to show you that that's demons usually don't work alone. They don't. They're usually a conglomerate, a syndicate, an alliance, a covenant, a group. They work together in pairs. Are you here? Let's go back to our Luke 13. Identify the signs of demonic presence. Identify some of them here, and you can find many of them. Let's go to the Madman of Gadara. Let's see many signs there as well of demonic presence. Start from verse 1. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately they met him out of the tombs. A man with an unclean spirit. Out of the tombs. Out of the tombs. Do you understand? That is one sign of the presence of demons in a person's life. That's the first sign, actually. Above any other sign, isolation. Isolation. Do you know a lot of people that go to the tombs to have meetings? Huh? Do you know people that go to the tombs all the time to be having meetings? Go to the cemetery is always empty. There's nobody there. We go there for a few minutes. We all leave. But this man was out of the tombs, which indicate he was there alone. That it's not a place where people go to. So it's isolation. The first sign of demonic presence is always isolation. You get isolated first. You are always in your room, you lock. Oh yes. You like being alone in the house. You like being in places where nobody is with you. It's the first sign. They isolate you. To work on you well, they don't need interference. So you become antisocial. You are unable to relate with people well. You are unable to maintain relationships because demons want to have, they want to be the only relationship you have. They want to develop a very close relationship with you. You start missing them. When you are not with them, you don't feel okay. You can't wait to chase everybody to be just with them. Isolation. It's isolation to humans, but not isolation in full term because you are with somebody. You are with spirits. You are not really isolated. You are just as far as human beings are concerned. But you are not alone. You are not alone. So the tombs. Tombs. That's where the man was. The tombs. Next verse. And he had his dwelling among. That's where he stays. He had his dwellings among the tombs. A place where nobody can come to. A place that is not open to everybody. You create an environment that only you can be there. Nobody is welcome there. Nobody can come there. Nobody feels safe there. It's not nice for everybody. It's only nice for you. The tombs. The tombs. Most demons usually rearrange the person's life to their liking. Because the environment has to be conducive to what they want to do. So they usually rearrange everything about you. Yeah. What you wear, it must match what they want. Where you live, how you live there. There's a man I know, I tell you, the place where that guy sleeps is a damping site, like a damping site. I went there once, I almost vomited. A damping site. But that's where he's comfortable. That's why he's comfortable. An unclean spirit, you must understand, they make things dirty. Because they are dirty themselves. They are funny smells. They like those smells. They like an environment that's not clean, nice. They don't like it. They don't like it. And I think I've mentioned it here before that Where you see confusion, demons are not far. Because God is a God of order. Satan is of confusion and disorder. Like things are upside down. You can't. So you can imagine giving such a person a whole yard. The whole yard will turn into a monster. Yeah. Dwelling among the tombs. Next time, no one could bind him. Not even with chains. What is this? Stubbornness. In other words, no one can control you. You do what you said you're going to do in the way you said you're going to do it. Be careful of stubbornness. Stubbornness is usually, if not always, an indication of demons. The Bible says that the wisdom that is from above is easily entreated. Easy to entreat. Easy to entreat. In the book of James, wisdom from above is easy to entreat. Find the scripture. Easy to entreat. Wisdom from above. The wisdom of God is peaceful. It's easy to entreat. Meaning when you are the type of person that it's easy to get you in another direction. It's easy to get you off a certain course. Then you are operating with the wisdom of God. When you are a person that it's so difficult to change your mind. It's so difficult to get you to review something. Once you've said this is what you're going to do, that's what you're going to do. You are a very stubborn person. And it's usually, you are like the mammon of God. Nobody, you see, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure. Then peaceable. Gentle, willing to yield. That's wisdom. That's not weakness. It's wisdom. Willingness to yield. If you check it in the King James, see what it says in the King James. It says, and easy to be entreated. Easy to be entreated. In other words, you are not a difficult, hard-headed person that we can never get you on anything that you don't want to be getting into. Difficult, hard-headed rock. Mampara. Easy to be entreated. It doesn't take long to get you. You quickly adjust. Yeah. No, there's not a problem. Oh, no, I can do that. Oh, no, it's not a big deal. I know, we can adjust. No, it's fine. When there are demons in you, the meeting that was supposed to last 5 minutes is going to last 5 hours. Because you have another idea. When we say this, you say this. You are playing table tennis. When I send the ball, you also send the ball. You know table tennis? Pam, 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 pam. You are playing table tennis with the person that is trying to help you. When he says this, you say this. When he says that, you say that. You are playing table tennis. Yes. And that's why there's no help. There's no help for such a person. Nothing. The Bible says it could not be bound, even with chains. You even bring chains, he breaks the chains. I mean, go back to the verse. Even verse 4, go to verse 4. Look at what verse 4 says. Because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces, neither anyone could tame him. Do you know what is a chain? You must go and look for a chain. Do you know how hard a chain is? That no matter how you pin him, no matter what reasons you bring, the guy will just find a way to pull out of those things and then continue the way he wanted to continue. That's demonic. That's demonic. I heard the story of a sister that was given a task in the church to do something. She didn't do the job. At the end of the service, an elder mother came to her and said, "My sister, you see this job that you are given to do, man, this is how you do it. You're supposed to start here, then do here, then do like this, then do like this. And then by the time you finish, you're supposed to finish here. Do you understand?" The lady looked at her and said, "I think this job must be given to another person."
That was her answer. Like, after all that talk of this person, she didn't say, "Oh no, I understand, I will change." No, no, no. After she heard it, her mind was that, "I think I'm not the one who's supposed to do this job. It's, I think next week, find another person to do this job." You understand that type of a mind? We are being delivered as the word is being preached. You see, the first deliverance is the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Long before hands are laid on you, just you coming across knowledge of the truth, that's how freedom starts. Many people have been delivered in this church without me ever touching them. Just the preaching of the word, and you receiving the word without, building barricades. Building barricades, like, no. I don't appreciate this, this and this and this and this and this. It is the demons in you that are being, they are feeling the fire and the heat. Because, you see, the light is shining in darkness, and darkness hates light. So when you now come to a place where there's light, and they didn't know, I didn't say that I was going to talk about demons. So they were not expecting this type of preaching to be taking place on a Friday like this. So now they are taken by surprise, and they're not happy. They're not happy. And they can make you angry yourself. Who is hearing them? They will pull you. They'll start agitating you because they are not happy that you are exposing them to this light, to this sort, that are hating them. They don't like it. Light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it.
Let's go back to Mark. Mark 5. No one could tame him. That's the stubbornness part of it. 5. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs. You see, these are places that human beings don't go a lot. So it's revealed isolation. You are always on your corner. Do you understand? It's a bad sign. It's a bad sign that you always like retreating. Not to read. Not to pray. Not to listen to messages. You retreat to isolate yourself in your thoughts and in your things. That's you in the mountains. That's you in the tombs. Now look at the next line. The next sign that demons are working in somebody: crying out and catching himself with stones. You are doing something that is hurting you, but you are still doing it. It's hurting, you are crying. You are crying, but you are still doing it. Yes. It is hurting you, but you are still doing it. And there are people that actually literally cut themselves. What you are saying there? The cutting is not something that started today. All of us that have been cutting ourselves, this is our ancestor. The madman of Gadara. He's our chairman. He's a madman of Gadara. He's a chairman of the people that are cutting themselves. He's a chairman. Yeah. People that are cutting themselves. You're taking blades and razors, cutting. The madman of Gadara is your chairman. But understand this, that when demons are in you, you will do something that is hurting you, but you will keep doing it. You will cry, but you will be doing it crying. That's how you know something is going wrong here. I'm hurting myself, but I seem to can't stop hurting myself. I keep hurting myself the more. I'm hurting myself. We hurt ourselves with substance abuse. We hurt ourselves with all kinds of things. But we can't stop. We keep doing it. Even though it is hurting us and we are hurting ourselves, but we keep doing it. That's how you know there's a demonic presence. There are evil spirits. People are hurt. Relationships are hurt. Myself, I'm hurt. But I'm still doing it. You are being delivered tonight in the name of Jesus. Because the first sign of freedom is accepting that this is what is going on. This is actually what is going on with me. This is what is going on with me. There's a presence. There's a presence in my room. There's a presence. The presence in your room, is it the presence in the church? Even if you think about it, the presence in your room, is it the presence in the church? Yet the church is made of us. Now imagine all of us here, our presence in the church is not the presence in our homes. It means the presence is faked. It's stage managed. Because your real self comes when you are in your room. When you are in your room, that's where you are the most yourself. And that is where we should know that if you're really serious about something, it will show there. In your room. That is where, do you understand? If God is really with you, that is where God will show that he's with you. I mean, that is where God will show up. Yet, that is where he's supposed to run the furthest away because of the type of things that are about to start happening there. You say the Holy Spirit, I know you are sensitive, please. Excuse us. Excuse us. What we're about to start here now, it will take you about 3 years to recover. If you will stay to witness this thing, I know you are very sensitive. Go, I'll call you when we are done. I know you, Pastor Pascal says you are very sensitive. You get grieved easily. The things I'm about to do here now will not only grieve you, they will aggravate you. So please, please, just go away for now. When I finish, I call you. I'll fix the room small. Then you can come. May God forgive us. I said, may God forgive us. If we talk about walking with God, it starts in this thing that I'm talking about. Because you need to ask, am I walking with God? Am I walking with demons? What am I walking with? Who am I walking with? Who am I walking with? The title of this message is Don't Walk with Demons. Don't walk with demons. Don't walk with demons. Don't walk with demons. Yeah. Don't walk with demons claiming to be walking with God. Don't walk with demons. Cutting himself with stones. Cutting yourself. Hurting yourself. Doing things that are hurting you. Things that are damaging you. Things that are changing you into something else. And you are doing it on yourself. On yourself. Nobody is doing it to you. You are doing it on yourself. That's the presence of demons. That's how you know demons are here. Demons are operating. Verse 6. So now that's where I took you. Now, when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. And this is where all our confusion comes. Because that person that was catching himself, staying in the tombs,
That person that was untamable is now running to worship Jesus. He's now wearing a John 3:16 t-shirt. And all of a sudden, we're saying, no, he's born again. No, he's born again. No, she's born again. Oh, no, they're powerful. The same person, nothing has changed. But the person is a worshiper. The person is running to church. But the person is oppressed by demons. But you see, there's something about Jesus. If you really walk with Jesus, even if it's for 2 minutes, something will change. Like, I tell you, you are about to see how Jesus is determined that you cannot come near him and you remain bound. It's not possible. It didn't happen to the woman of 18 years and it didn't happen to this man. It will not happen to you. Amen. Except you didn't get close to Jesus. As some of us are like faking things. If you really get close to Jesus, like for real, I assure you, you will change. Look at this man. Look at verse 7. He cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you?" So the spirit now is reacting. Do you understand? Because he's now very close. Do you understand? He's now very, very close. And that is how some of us are. You are in the church physically, but your spirit hasn't come close. Satan fights that your spirit mustn't be inside this thing. You are here with your mind, you are here with your body, but your spirit is not here. But the day your spirit really comes close, you will see a manifestation. You will see there will be a reaction. You will see that, hey, something in you is not happy. And that is what some of you need to learn. You need to learn to come with God and to drop your guards. I'm talking to those that will hear this message after. You need to learn to drop your guards and say, "Jesus, whatever will happen, let it happen. Let it happen." You see, your problem is you are too self-conscious. You are too dignity conscious. You are too all these conscious that you come here and you want to control everything. So Jesus said, "You know, good luck with that. I will never force healing on you." Some of you say, "No, I don't want to fall. I don't want this." So you want to remain bound in the name of "I don't want to fall." You want to remain oppressed in the name of "I don't want to manifest." You know, when I come to the prison, I don't care about those things. What I care about, Jesus permeate me. Jesus enter into me. And I pray that whatever you find, deal with it. You see, I let him in. That's why sometimes you see me shake. That many things happen to me. I never block anything. I allow him. I allow the Holy Spirit to deal with me. Yes. A lot of you are too proud. You come here, you want to control everything that must happen to you. Your eyes are open the whole time. You are controlling your prayer time, everything. So that's why God can't really get to you. God can't get to you. You are too big. You are too big. Even a meeting of less than 20 people, you can't say, "Lord Jesus, today you've even made many people to not come. Let me now open up anything in me." You see, you have the key. The key is called your will. Your will is the key. If you decide, "Holy Spirit, I open all the doors. Get in me with your light," you will see a reaction. And you don't even need to be in the church. These things, I have encounters with God in my bedroom, anywhere. As soon as the word starts coming in a certain way, I break all the... I say, hey, you will hear this. You will hear this now. You will hear this. I open all the doors. Say, "Jesus, let it enter. I need this." I have broken through a lot of curses, demon possessions, witchcraft, so many things that God has helped me simply because I don't resist the word.
I don't direct the word. Then I go that side. No, 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 no. Look, when you take a pill, do you tell the pill where to go? Your only job is to swallow the pill. After you swallow the pill, you leave the pill to itself. Some pills, after you swallow it, you become dizzy and you fall asleep. It needs you to sleep for it to work. Do you understand? And the word of God is medicine. It is medicine. When the word of God comes, don't try to direct the word that, no, you go to there. No, let the pill enter and allow the pill to do the work that the pill wants to do inside of you. Stop trying to direct the pill. That, no, 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 you come. No, no, you do this. That's why we are stuck. But we are being unstuck in the name of Jesus. He said, I implore you by God, do not torment. And that's how a lot of us are with these demons. The demons are saying, me, I don't need any torment today. I don't need any problems today. Do your prayer. Let's go. Don't torment me. Don't do what? Mark that. Let's go back to Luke. You will hear what the demon told. Say, don't torment me. There's another scripture where demons were saying, leave us alone. What have we to do with you? Find that one. Leave us alone. What have we to do with you? They never want you to deal with them. No, 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 no. Do your thing. Do your thing. Let us, after that, we should go. You are our hotel. You are the accommodation. So I implore you by God that you do not torment me. Ah, what of the man you guys have been tormenting since he was born? What of him? He's not talking on behalf of the man. He's talking for himself. He said, I said, feed the monster. He is not interested in this man that they are making to cut himself. When they are making the man to cut himself, they are happy. But they are saying Jesus shouldn't torment them. Anyway, let's continue verse 8. For he said to him, come out of the man, unclean spirit. Verse 9. Then he asked him, what is your name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. For you to deal with the spirit that are working against you, learn to identify their names. It's a mission on its own to capture the names of the spirits that are molesting you. To write their names down. I used to, a few years ago, I told in the States, I said here, write down the names of 9 demons that are currently on your case. It's easy to know them. Just check your thoughts. You will know all of them. Check your thoughts. Just check your thoughts. You will know all the demons that are fighting you. Check your behavior. Check your thoughts. That's all. And these demons are responsible for most of your problems. Now, you must understand that this one that is bended over is not an economical situation. It's spirits. It's spirits. Saying, let us alone. What have we to do with you? Jesus, Son of Nazareth, did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Let us alone. That is the advice you must never take from demons. But that is the advice they will always give you. Leave us alone. Don't pray too loud. Don't open all the doors. Just be gentle. They are saying to you what? Leave us alone. That's your biggest mistake. You've left them alone. Now they have grown. Eh? Yes. The serpent in Genesis became a dragon in Revelation. In Genesis, you hear about a serpent. In Revelation, we not talk about a serpent, we talk about a dragon. It has grown wings. It has grown a big mouth. It's now spitting. In Genesis, it was just deceiving. Now it's spitting fire. Because you left it alone.
Anything you leave alone will metamorphose into a monster. And you will be shocked by what you will turn into. You will be shocked because you left it alone. You see, you must start pouring fire. Eish. Eish. You must bind them. You pour fire, you break the neck, you pierce the eyes, you break the back. My God, you must make it so difficult for them to survive. But here you are quiet. Shana Shada, shada, shamanamanama. Namanamanama, shada, shada. Same tongue, even the demons are tired of your tongues. Same useless, dempty, dry tongues. There's no fire in your mouth. There's no fire in your mouth. That fire is returning now in the name of Jesus. Listen. 34. I mean, let's go back to that thing. What is your name? My name is Legion from Uamini. 10. Also, he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Do you understand? Why? Because demons are territorial. You will be shocked that if you were to move from where you are now to another area, some of the demons in you cannot operate well. They need you to be in a certain place. For example, they need you to be alone. When you are with people, they don't operate well. They are territorial. Yeah. You will be shocked that demons that are working in Lida don't work in Robeka. And demons that are working in Robeka don't work in Chaneng. Even though Robeka and Chaneng is the same thing. But the demons are not the same. They are territorial. Because demons are actually animals. Do you understand? Demons are animal spirits. And all animals are known to be territorial. A dog is always peeping around, marking his territory. And as soon as your dog is moving, enters another dog's territory, war begins. They start shouting at each other. Because demons, all animals are territorial. They defend their turf. So once demons have identified you as their territory, where else can they go? So they must be evicted. They don't leave. They must be evicted with red ends. Don't send us out of this country. This is where we are operating well. So some demons, since America has been South Africa has been copying America. You see that most of the demons that are working in America have found a very safe haven in South Africa. They have come down here fully. Because again, we follow America, we're copying America. So they have now come. All those spirits, they're finding this place very, very nice. There is a bit tough now. Let's come here. Yeah. It's territory. 11. Now a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, send us to the swine that we may enter them. You see the desperations of demons? They rather enter an animal than just move around. They are ready to enter your chicken. So animals carry demons. This is your proof today that dogs are not just dogs. Cats are not just cats. Nothing like that. All animals, they carry. That's why we say before you eat, pray over the thing. Most of these foods carry demons. Imagine the cow, about 70,000 demons enter that cow. Because they knew that this cow will be eaten by people. And then we're going to go through the food and enter the person. You will never pray. Hallelujah. Have you noticed that you are so quick to eat but so lazy to pray. Have you noticed that thing? That when it comes to eating, you are a champion of food. You are ready. Your real self comes out when it's time to eat. When it's time to pray, you become Tony Blair. You become a politician. You start praying with quotations. Send us to the swine that we may enter them. This is why Muslims don't eat pigs. This is why Jews don't eat pig. Because they are saying that if the demons even chose the swine, and swine eat every plastic, poo-poo, anything that they find, they eat it. Swine. They eat anything available. So they always carry not only demons, gems. They carry everything. Everything that exists. And their meat is so nice. Oh, bacon, bacon. Look at bacon. Look at bacon. Look at bacon. These bad things, they taste so nice. Praise the Lord. Send us into the swine. We may enter them. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Take your seat. Let's finish this thing. I gave you a number of signs of demonic presence. If you like, go and study the whole thing. There's a book by Bishop Dakiwad Mills, Demons and How They Enter People. Read that book. Demons and how, I think Demons and How to Deal with Them. Read that book. It will help you. Most of the things I've talked about are in that book. Read that book if you want to deal with demons. It's a very important thing to do. So this is the dimension of you giving permission to demons to enter you. By your actions. By your disobedience. Every disobedience is usually an open door for demons. Every time you disobey, demons gain access into you. It's one of the quickest channels of entry. Obedience attracts God. Disobedience attracts demons. So through your disobedience, you give them legal access. Legal. I'm talking about access given to demons willingly. I mean knowingly. This is it. Through disobedience and mostly also through ignorance. Like you didn't know that by watching this, you are giving permission. By listening to this, you are giving permission. By doing this, you are giving permission. So your ignorance is also, they use it. And people are destroyed by lack of knowledge. So talking about willingness is through disobedience and ignorance. Do you understand? Like you are willingly giving access to demons, but you are not aware. Or you are even aware, but you are still doing it. Then the unwilling one, the one that you are not the one, like you didn't want to do it, is what we call ancestral covenants. It has got nothing to do with you. It has got everything to do with those that were here before you. In your family lineage. Your ancestors, your great-grandparents, there are things they did that gave these demons legal right over the family. Every newborn is under their authority. So at a certain age, they come. They say, hello, we are here. Let's start. Hurry, let's start. And then you just see yourself doing things. And you're just repeating everybody else. This one is the unwilling one, yet is still working. So the willing one, disobedience, ignorance. And the unwilling one, ancestral covenants, established by your forefathers. This is why sometimes you say to your spirit, get out. He say, hey, you're a small boy. Shut up. Because he's standing there on the basis of a lot of things. And you have to break all those things before.
before you weaken him enough. And one of the ways is through knowledge. You have to know a lot of things. Yes, you have to learn a lot. You have to know a lot. You have to expose yourself to a lot so that you can discover how it came to be. How it came to be. That this thing doesn't want to let you go. You are coming to church faithfully every week. You are singing. You are doing everything faithfully. But the thing is closer to you than your cloth. So why? Why? There's a covenant. The Spirit is standing on a covenant that your ancestors, your parents, your great-grandparents, somebody in the family activated this thing. And because every generation usually is worse than the previous, you see, every new, you see, just like telephones, if you show your first iPhone, it wasn't like this. It's an upgraded version. That's also how demons are. They upgrade themselves. So the sin that your father did is not the one you will do, but it's in the same line. Do you understand? Is that they need to upgrade it when it's your turn. It becomes a higher version of the same thing. Are you catching it? Yeah. All of this was to tell you a genuine walk with Jesus will include deliverance. And do not let that deliverance be a subject matter that you visit from time to time. When you are truly a slave, you want to be free. God doesn't deliver you from your friends. He delivers you from your enemies. So if something is not your enemy, God cannot deliver you from it. If the thing is treated as a friend, God doesn't see the need of delivering you from it. Do you understand my statement? God doesn't deliver you from your friends. God delivers you from your enemies. If something is not perceived as an enemy by you, then there's no need for God to deliver you from it. God can only deliver you from what you yourself have now identified as an enemy. But if the thing is still a friend to you, oh yes, may the Lord have mercy on us. One thing I have learned with my deliverance, in my journey of deliverance, of the many things I fought in my life and I'm still fighting, is never be restless, never be restful. Isaac told his son Esau, when you become restless, you will break his yoke from your neck. Find it. When you become restless. He said to his son, your brother shall rule over you. But when you become restless, you shall break his yoke from your neck. Huh? What is it? Genesis 27:40. Yeah. By your sword you shall live. Now you'll be fighting your whole life. And you shall serve your brother. Do you understand? And it shall come to pass when you become restless that you shall break his yoke from your neck. Yokes are not broken when you are at ease. You can't break a yoke when you are restful. Watching TV, enjoying life. Yokes love it all. Watch, eat. Enjoy yourself. You are young. Enjoy yourself. You are giving them time to fortify themselves. This scripture, I learned this scripture from Bishop Ed Belong years ago. I'm talking about 2006, 2007. That's when he read the scripture. and I caught it with everything within me. So I said, there's hope. I can be oppressed today, but there's hope. The key is I must be restless. In other words, I don't wait for pastor to teach on deliverance before I start wanting deliverance. Whether pastor teaches deliverance or not, me, I'm on it. Like, I am on it every day. I can show thousands of books. My God, what are you talking about? I've desired deliverance with all my heart. Before the small things you are seeing in my life now, they were never meant to be. Never in 1,000 years. Never meant to be. I'm supposed to be a struggler till I die. If you like, leave the devil. You'll be shocked that your life will end like you didn't see it. Like you didn't see it. Like it just finished. Like it's finished. Yeah, it's finished. Huh? No, but it's finished. It's over. Please go. This is what you have to be very restless. The Bible says, woe to them that are at ease in Zion. In Zion, Zion is the church. Woe to those that are at ease in the church. They are so relaxed. They are at ease. It's a mistake to be at ease in Zion. What to you who are at ease in Zion? What to you? In other words, a lot of bad things are going to happen to you because you are at ease. But Obadiah tells us that from Zion shall be deliverance. Do you understand? You shouldn't be at ease in Zion. You should get deliverance in Zion. He said, my people shall possess their possession. Find it. I hope somebody is marking all these scriptures for me. After I must send me the notes. Me, myself, I need to do a study on these things. Obadiah is in Obadiah 1 verse 17, but on Mount Zion there shall be deliverance. Not easiness. There shall be deliverance and there shall be what? Holiness. And the house of Jacob shall possess their possession. You only possess your possession after you have secured deliverance and holiness. Not until then. Secure deliverance, secure holiness, possess your possessions. That's the way. You want a car, but the car might never come in 1,000 years. Until you secure deliverance first. The car is your possession. But you'll be shocked that the possession is not coming. Because why? You haven't secured the deliverance. But on Mount Zion, there shall be deliverance. So I must work for deliverance first. Deliverance. And holiness, holy living. Why? Because unholiness attracts demons. Like, that is one of their ways that they operate. Unholiness attracts evil spirits. Every unholy behavior of any kind is a way for demons to enter, because unholiness is disobedience. Be holy, for I am holy. The house of Jacob shall possess it is their possession, though. But they don't possess. It's their possession. The thing that you are seeing is yours. For real, is yours. But until you follow these steps, those of you that have an interest in ministry is a possession. But to see that ministry, you must first be captured, you must be delivered from so many things. You will never see the connection of those things in the ministry, but it's there. Just like anything you're trying to do, they will fight you. You want to do ministry,
They said, no, there's nobody has been a minister in this lineage. We don't appreciate this thing that you are bringing here. We don't want it. There's no minister here. We serve idols, we serve this, we do like this, you follow us. They said, no, me, I want to be a sister. No, no, go to church, but don't be a minister. Now you want to be a pastor, you want to be a lady pastor, you want to be a man of God, you want to be a woman of God. They say, no way. Wakara, here, it can't happen. Then you need to say, I'm sorry, but I think this is where we are parting ways. I'm getting deliverance from you. Then you start. Alone at night, my soul kappa, I pour fire. I bang, I bind. Every day, I'm telling you, don't give them rest. Don't give them a break. You come for services, open up. Whatever must happen, let it happen. I want to be free. That is my attitude. Is whatever happened, let it happen. I don't care. If I can be free, that's what I want. I don't care about anything else. Don't tell me about image. Don't tell me about image. Is image giving me food? Whatever will happen, let it happen. And if I can be free, I'll be okay. Many of you here, Jehovah Sharp is going to make you sharp. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Stand on your feet this evening and let's start appreciating God for the word.
Thank you for listening. May God bless you. Remember to subscribe to receive our latest service notifications and to share the link. You can also watch our pastor, Pastor Pascal, live on our Facebook page, Alive Bible Church HQ, or on our YouTube channel, Alive Bible Church SA. Remember, you are alive to give life.